words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text from Mark chapter 4, Jesus said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." This is our text. You may be seated. There are many names for churches. We have all the saint names, St. Paul, St. Luke, St. James, etc. Other names like Trinity, Faith, Grace, Messiah, Emmanuel, Victory in Christ. The names obviously have a biblical connection and often reflect something about the congregation or perhaps the people that originally chose that name. These names say something about who God is or what he has done or the people he has worked through. They remind us of something biblical, something related to our Lord. I have no idea if there has ever been a congregation named Mustard Tree Lutheran Church, but from today's text, it would seem to be an apt name. Jesus talks about the kingdom of God as a large mustard plant, so large that it can provide shade for the birds. In today's gospel lesson, we find two short, distinct agricultural parables. First, we have the parable of the seed being scattered, and it seems to sprout and grow almost magically by itself. The man scatters the seed and knows what it needs to grow, but how it grows is a mystery. The seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. If you think about seeds, or if you've ever planted anything, any seeds, it's almost miraculous when you think about how they grow. The growth just happens. You put water on, maybe fertilizer, and here comes this plant seemingly out of nothing. And so it is with the seed of God's word. Now the second parable is related. From a very small seed, a mustard seed, this huge plant grows, basically a small tree. And Jesus says, the kingdom of God, the church, is like these tiny growing seeds that grow into the largest plant in the garden. When you think about it, it makes sense. We don't always understand from a human perspective what is causing a church to grow or not grow. We can dream up what we think would be the most amazing program to grow God's church and see no fruits from those efforts. And other times, the church just grows and we seem to have done almost nothing. But rest assured, God is growing his church when and where it pleases him. It is our duty to be faithful sowers and gardeners. In today's Old Testament lesson, we see God describing himself as a God of reversals. The powerful, seemingly important things in this world are brought low, and the lowly things, the lowly people, are things that God works through to bring forth his kingdom. He says, "I bring low the high tree and make high the low tree, dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it." This idea of the weak being made strong is echoed by Mary at her visit to Elizabeth when she expresses, "The Lord has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away." I suppose to this God of reversals, we could add, he is a God who takes something tiny and turns it into something large. A God who can take a tiny, insignificant mustard seed and turn it into a great tree is the same God who takes tiny, insignificant people like us and turns them into his church, his kingdom. We are the bride of Christ. And there is nothing more magnificent than that. You see, God chooses to use the weak and the small and the powerless and the insignificant to build his kingdom. Now, why would he do that? Seems kind of crazy. He does it to show you and the world that it is his work, not yours and not mine, to build his kingdom, to make the seed grow. Do you remember the story of Gideon in the Old Testament? Gideon had raised an army of tens of thousands of soldiers to do battle with the Midianites, but God would have none of it. He tells Gideon, "The people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into your hand. Lest Israel boast over me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.'" There were too many soldiers for God to win, because if Gideon had conquered, it would look like man's work and not God's. Through a variety of means, God whittles down Israel's army to a mere 300, and they utterly defeat the vast Midianite army with their trumpets and clay jars and torches. God used his strength through mankind's weakness to give Gideon the victory. St. Paul puts it this way: "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong." God has done this throughout history. He hides his power in weakness, no more so than when he himself chose to come into our world as a weak, helpless baby on that first Christmas. Herod thought he could easily kill this would-be king before he grew up to be king, but he could not. The crowds that flocked around Jesus wanted more and more displays of Jesus' miraculous power, not to mention all the free food. But eventually Jesus stopped the miracles and used only his seemingly weak words to bring people to himself. The Jewish leaders, the Roman officials, thought they had finally dealt with this radical rabbi by nailing him to a cross, the final tree on which God's kingdom is built. But in fact, that was the Father's will all along. And in that moment of utter shame, of complete weakness, Jesus displays his most glorious power by dying for our weakness, by destroying the power of sin and death over us. On Easter morn, Jesus proved that even in the weakness of a human body, he was still God, raising himself from the dead. And he gives that victory, that strength to you, through the faith that he has given to you in your baptism. So let's talk about faith. Is your faith weak? You know, there's another parable where Jesus mentions a tiny mustard seed. He says, "For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you." Moved any mountains lately by faith? You don't even have as much faith as a tiny mustard seed? No matter. That's Jesus' point. On our own, faith is small, not even as big as a mustard seed. But your faith is enough, not because of your faith, but because of who your faith clings to. It clings to Christ. It trusts in Christ. That's what faith is. God hasn't even given you enough faith to move mountains or perhaps do miracles like Jesus did, because that would detract from his strength and cause you to look at yourself Maybe you can't move mountains, but your faith given to you in your baptism makes you one of his birds, one who finds shade in the mustard tree of his church. The seed of his word has grown in you, has taken root in you, has brought forth the fruits of good works in you. It has brought you into the fellowship of other Christians here, gathered around the branches of this mustard tree. This tree of victory in Christ has sprung up here through faithful sowers and gardeners. The word that was sown in you through your parents, your pastors, your grandparents, your spouses, your friends, has grown up in each of you to produce fruit. And these people next to whom you sit, these two are fruit of that tree, the tree on which Jesus hung. And look what it has become now, a place of comfort, a place of forgiveness and hope. The prophet Ezekiel writes, "Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. In the mountain height of Israel will I plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruits and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird, in the shade of its branches every sort of bird will nest." This time, not a mustard tree, but Ezekiel uses the picture of a great cedar. That tree is Jesus from the stump of Jesse, who God planted on a cross on Zion. Every kind of bird that Ezekiel mentions represents all the different people of the earth, different races and languages, ethnicities, socioeconomic backgrounds. These are the birds that find shade and rest and forgiveness in Christ's church, just as you have found here. At our district convention, President Harrison of the LCMS spoke about the incredible growth of God's church, not in Europe, not here, but in Latin America, in Africa, parts of Asia. These birds, too, coming to nest, to find shade, to find rest in the branches of Christ's church. God has given us his church, this mustard tree, this body of Christ, as his gift to us. And may the tree of Christ's cross, may the good news of his resurrection continue to nourish and feed each of you, and to feed this mustard tree of Victory in Christ Lutheran Church for years, for generations to come. By God's power, he will do it. In Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.